It's a joy and an honor to be here with you guys today and to just, more than anything, share my heart. This is something that God has knit into my very being and the way he has made me, and he's really brought it to life, and that's what I'm going to be giving all of you guys today. Before we get started, though, I want to just tell you a little bit about myself and how I came to be in this place. As I was growing up, I could feel the pain of others. Like, I would be sitting in a restaurant with my family, and our waitress would come, and I could just tell that she was struggling, and I had no idea what to do with that, but I could sense the pain of other people, and so I would pray for that person, and but I didn't really know what to do with it. So as time went about, people started coming to me. In high school, people would come to me and say, I need help. You know, I don't know what to do with this situation. I started little Bible studies with some of my friends that were really hurting in my home, and my home became their home in a way. I didn't invite this. It was just the Holy Spirit was working something out there. So I ended up going into a degree in psychology at Mount Vernon Nazarene University, and then I graduated and went straight into my master's degree in counseling. And then I went into the counseling field. And so through the my first few years of counseling, I eventually went into private practice. And on my way to work one day, I was just praying about my day, inviting him into it. I always wanted him a part of the sessions because I didn't want to do anything that was outside of what he was doing in people's lives. And so I'm driving to work. At that time, I was in Fairfield. And I just could clearly hear the calling of God on my life. And he said, Kim, I want you to participate with me to set people free. Set my people free, Kim. And when I heard him say that, I said, okay, let's do this. I wanna join with you in this. But I had really no idea what that even meant. Because freedom is such a vague term. You know, we hear about freedom in Christ. We hear about freedom and slavery in the Bible. And the verse that first popped into my head when I heard that calling over my life was Luke 4, and it's when Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And Jesus said that in the synagogue. And after he said that, he sits down, and everybody just is staring at him in the synagogue. And then he says, this is fulfilled by your very hearing. So just by simply hearing it, he was saying it had been fulfilled. And so that is something he's told us we have, is freedom. Freedom from captivity. Oppressed being free. But what does this even mean, and how do we go about it? So let's just pause for a minute and invite God to speak here today. And he is here, and I just want him to make himself known to us. So let's pray. Our loving God, Lord, we are just so thankful you are here in our midst today. It's nothing that we have earned. It's by your very grace that we get to be in this community together, and we get to hear you speaking to us. So God, I just invite you here today to bring your truth. I pray that people could experience you on a new level today, on a deeper level, that they could feel your touch. And God, I know that the enemy likes to interfere in these types of things. He does not like our freedom. And so I just silence the enemy's voice from this room right now, in your name, Jesus. I also silence the pressures and the expectations of the world, and I also silence our own flesh of making interpretations of things that are not alignment with you. I just silence those in Jesus' name, and we invite for your voice to speak today. We believe, but help our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen. So, to get us started in this topic, let's think for a minute about what freedom actually is. And to help us think about that, let's think about what the opposite of freedom, which is bondage. We read in Scripture quite often about bondage and being in slavery. And so when I think of bondage, as I read Scripture, what I gain most from it is three things. One is being a slave to the enemy and the deception he has planted through vulnerable times in our lives. Another area of bondage is being in bondage to the values and the expectations of the world and wanting to live up to those and working just right in with those. And they come so easily, and it's just we get sucked into them. Another area of bondage is our own minds. And what I mean by that is we make our own interpretations about things often. Our minds, we can often be like, a situation happens and we are like, where were you, God? Where Scripture says he never leaves us, but our experiences are saying he's not there. And we can say, where were you? Why weren't you there for me? Why didn't you stop that? And so our experiences tell us one thing about God, but then there's truth. And often those don't match up. And so we're like, what is going on? And so that's an area of bondage. So what I'm going to propose to you guys today of freedom, and I really, honestly, over the last couple weeks, I had to really buckle down on what is freedom, because I knew it in here, but I didn't know it up here. And usually it's the opposite. Usually we know God loves us, but we don't know with our hearts. In this, I was like, I know what freedom is, but I don't know how to explain it to people. And so the Holy Spirit made it really clear for me this week, and I was just so thankful. And he told me through Scriptures that freedom is living as a child of God. It's when we're living as a child of God because we know we are known by him, we know we are loved by him, and we know we are accepted by him. Those three things. These are not by our own doing. We haven't earned this. This is something is the grace of Jesus. So part of being a child of God is being able to see things clearly, seeing ourselves clearly as he sees us, seeing God clearly as he truly is, seeing our environment clearly in alignment with the kingdom of God. So this means no longer being ruled by the enemy's deception. This means no longer being ruled by the pressures and the expectations of the world around us. And it also means no longer being ruled by our own interpretations of things. So I think my question for you today is, do you want this freedom? Do you want to participate with the ministry of Jesus through the Holy Spirit within you to walk in this freedom that he has for you of being a child of God? To live knowing you are loved, to live knowing you are known by him and accepted, not because of anything you've done to earn it, but simply as a gift, the Father's love sending his son Jesus. And so we often think this is way too good to be true. This is too good to be true. It's not possible for me to be free, because our circumstances tell us that. We can feel the bondage inside to when we can't stop worrying or when we can't stop drinking or whatever it may be. We can feel that bondage inside and we can think, there's nothing that's going to break me free of this. But Jesus said of himself, who the Son sets free, he is free indeed. And he also proclaimed from Luke 4, which I already read, that that's his plan for us, and it has been fulfilled. So let's transition to the verse for for this sermon, which is 2 Corinthians 3. And I think this verse will be able to shed some light for us of how we get to the freedom that he has for us and experience it. So 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. But the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and they see. Now the Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit. And wherever he is Lord, there is freedom. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. You can see the journey here. It's one level after another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So this passage tells us freedom is possible. Where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. These verses tell us two things. One is that we have to turn to Him. And the second is that the veil is over us and He takes it away. But let's talk for a few minutes about what the veil actually is. So in the original language, in the Greek language, veil meant covering. So it was a covering over the face, a covering over our view. If you think about a bride that has like a thick veil over, she can't really see out of it and no one can see in it until it is lifted. And that's similar to what goes on within our minds, is that veils form in our minds. And it's another translation of that same word is that which prevents a thing from being understood. That which prevents a thing from being understood. So here are some things that a veil keeps us from understanding. A veil keeps us from understanding how precious you are to God, how loved you are by Him, how delighted He is in you. Our veils keep us from seeing how we reflect His very image. See, each of you in here, God thought of you before you even were formed. You are special and unique. And Psalm 139 speaks of this, that before we were formed in our mother's womb, he was already thinking of us. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were already, they've always been one. And they were thinking of us. They knit us together in our mother's womb. So there is a prenatal you that fully reflects the image of God. And it's still in there. It's still there today. Sometimes it gets hidden because of just things that we go through. But there, the veil can be, it's keeping you from seeing how you reflect the image of God Himself. That you put that in there. Another thing the veil blocks is how you, each of you, are a vital part of the body of Christ. Everyone in here is a vital part of the body of Christ. The body is, if you think about a human body, we have all different kinds of parts of the body. We have fingernails, we have eyelashes, we have organs, we have toes, blood cells, every part of it. We have the main big organs like the heart. All those parts of the body play a vital function in the overall function of the body. And that's just how it is in the body of Christ. Each person plays a role. And oftentimes we're like, I don't even know what my role is. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And often the veil can be, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Another veil, it blocks you from seeing the kingdom of God growing all around us. See, the world tells us that evil is reigning. But that's not matching what Scripture says. Scripture says that His kingdom grows and grows and grows and grows. Jesus compares it to yeast spreading throughout the dough. And it's continuing to grow. And it's all around us, but sometimes we don't have eyes to see it. And the last thing that I have here that the veil keeps us from seeing is it keeps us from seeing the very bondage we are in. And it keeps us from seeing that there is a battle going on for us. Because we are that special to God, the enemy comes after us. So I want to show you a diagram that will help us to understand what this veil can look like in a practical way in our lives. And also just show you how bondage develops, how it even comes to be. How does the enemy get influence in our lives? So if you look at the diagram here, it starts, I know the arrow is pointing down, but I'm going to explain that in a minute. Let's look at the wound, the very bottom piece. So this is the beginning. A wound, simply, very simply put, is a wound is something, it's one of two things. It's something you received that you shouldn't have. Something you received that you shouldn't have. And then the other one is one that often goes unknown, is something you didn't receive that you should have. So, for example, if you were crying one day and your parents did not comfort you, and you cried in isolation, that is a wounding experience because you were having to deal with all of that alone. Now, this can be like, oh my gosh, all of us are full of wounds, because it can be this big to this big. But this is what Jesus came for. In Isaiah, it says that by his wounds we are healed. And so his very wounds on the cross are what help us with our wounds. And so a wound is something you shouldn't have received that you did, or something you didn't receive that you should have. So that end up developing the false beliefs about ourselves, about the world, about God, about and lies that have developed within us. So for example, if I grew up and I was really bullied in school, and I was told that I was ugly and stupid and not good enough. As a child, we are so receptive to those things and we internalize them very easily. So very naturally, the false beliefs and the lies is going to become a part of our thinking without us even consciously accepting it. So it's going to be like, we're going to have false beliefs that are deep within that say, I'm not good enough, I'm ugly, I'm stupid. And then very naturally, it goes up again, the emotional upheaval. What does that cause? When we believe those things about us and they're part of our very core, it's naturally going to cause depression. It's going to cause anxiety when we're around people and feeling like they're judging us. It's going to cause shame. Shame is this chronic feeling of not being good enough. And so when we experience the emotional upheaval, we cope with the emotional upheaval by dysfunctional behaviors. So if I feel anxious going in public because I feel stupid and ugly, and I'm feeling anxious about it, I'm going to avoid going places I feel uncomfortable. So it's going to cause behaviors that are going to keep me from doing things that would originally bring me life. So dysfunctional behaviors of isolation, maybe drinking to ease the anxiety, a whole list of things we could go on and on about dysfunctional behaviors. And then that ends up impacting our lives. So if we go back to the arrow, I went up, but the arrow is going down. And the reason why that is because that's the process of healing. We have to get to what's beneath, what's the root, for the behaviors to change. Oftentimes, we're like, if I only just stop doing that, if I would just stop, man, I'm going to do a new diet, or I'm going to start going to counseling, and I'm going to ask them, how do I stop drinking? And we do all these things to stop our behaviors. And the reality is, most of the time, it has nothing to do with the behavior. It's the belief system. And so in his word, he talks over and over again of strongholds. And strongholds are a belief system within us that are not in alignment with the truth of God. Those are strongholds. So oftentimes, the strongholds are what are driving our emotions and our behaviors. And that's where Jesus wants to go, right there. So if you do the next slide, for the sake of our discussion here today, the veil is the false beliefs. It is the lies. Because when it's the lens we're looking through at the world. It's the lens we're looking at with ourselves. And so if we really think about all this, and if the veil is the false beliefs and the lies, what does the scripture say how the veils come off? How the beliefs are changed? Does it say you start thinking positively? Does it say you try really hard? No, it says he is the one that takes off the veil. It says When the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and they see. Wherever he is Lord, there is freedom. So we don't get rid of the veil, but we do have a role. We do have a role here. And it's that first part of turning. We turn. We turn towards him. In scripture, in 2 Corinthians 3, where it says we turn to him, the word for that in the Greek language means return to his love. Turn towards him. And oftentimes, we are turned away from him because we don't feel deserving of his love or whatever is going on in our lives. We're not turned towards him. And so today we have an opportunity to hear a woman's testimony that experienced a veil being removed simply by turning to God. And she said, I don't know what to do with these things. Please show me. And little by little, the Holy Spirit revealed the next steps. And that's what God does. He's the one that guides the whole process of us stepping into freedom. And so I would like to invite Claudia to come on up and give her a warm welcome.
Well, here we are. And it's been a journey. I've been up the arrow and almost all the way down the arrow, but I'm going to talk about at the end of the arrow and how we got there. I've been through the inner healing prayer and deliverance and up and down my past and through it and thought it was all good. Everything was where it belonged and yay, I'm free. And but I found that I was having a very hard time approaching the Lord. I had a hard time praying for myself. I could pray for you, but there was some kind of blockage. Didn't know what it was. I thought we had already taken care of everything. And so I just called out to the Lord and said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what you want. I don't know why. I can't just climb in your lap. And so I was coming into the sanctuary, heading this way, and Kim was sitting out there in the foyer. And so I smiled at her, and I was going to say hi, and what came out of my mouth was, we have to have lunch. And she said, okay. So we made a date, and we had lunch, and all the way there to Eastgate, I was like, I don't know what you want, Lord. I don't know what this is about. I'm scared. I'm really uncomfortable. Please reveal to me what we're doing. And so we have lunch and we're talking and nothing's coming. And so I said, Kim, I just don't even know why we're here. And she said, well, let's just eat lunch. So we did. And then the Holy Spirit just opened me up and I told her about not having the ability to approach my father, to not be able to talk to Jesus in prayer. And I didn't know what he wanted, and she said she had just done a lamenting prayer, and I was like, lamenting, that's such a powerful word. It's not grief. It's like deep down sorrow, and it spoke to me, but it scared me, and so we didn't set anything up. I said, okay, I don't know what it would be because I'm okay with everything. I said, maybe I need to grieve some more for my husband. But we had grieved together, and I was fine with him. I knew where he was. And my sister died after him, about a year after him, and I thought maybe her. But no, I didn't feel that either. I just really didn't know what it was. And so we left, and it was a few weeks. And I have a picture of my family. It's a family portrait, the only one I have. It's my mother and my father and my siblings, and it was, I'm 9, almost 10, and that's the year my mother left, and I never saw her again, though we did. The Lord gave us an opportunity to make peace before she died. But I kept looking at that picture and praying, and I was journaling, and the Lord said, that's it. That's her, that girl, me, the 10-year-old girl. So I text Kim, and I said, all right, let's do it. I know what it is. And, well, that wasn't it. but it took us in the right direction. So her and Tasha were my prayer partners, and Kim is very gentle. She always keeps you in a safe place, and this was good because I was very scared. And there was an incident when I was 4 years old. I had whooping cough, and I was in my room, had fever, I was alone, and I was very hot, and I didn't know what to do, so I opened up the window. I just wanted to breathe. And my mother comes up, I guess, to check on me, and she's just livid. What are you doing? Why is that window open? And she just went into this rage, and I'd seen her anger before, but I'd never seen her like that, and I was very scared, so I climbed under my bed. And through this process, Kim would always bring me back to, do you see Jesus? Do you see Jesus? And he was there. He was in the whole process, but I couldn't approach him. I couldn't touch him. And so she asked me then, when I told her that, she said, do you see Jesus? And I did. He was behind me. I could feel him on my back, and I could see his face. But I couldn't turn to him because I had to look at my mother. I was afraid. I was feeling fear, you know. And that was the beginning of the veil. That was the lie, because it said to me, love is fearful. You have to protect yourself from love. And I've spent most of my life doing that, a great deal of my life. And of course, I couldn't see Jesus. And I could not turn to him. And that took me up that arrow. So the inner healing prayer, all of that was a journey down. But what he showed me, there was a place where Kim said, can you see Jesus now? And I said, no, because it's very dark. I don't see anything but darkness. And she kind of took a big breath, and that worried me. And her and Tasha, I could feel their prayers, but I was in that darkness. I wasn't afraid, but what the Holy Spirit showed me was that was my wound. That right there in that darkness is where I stopped trusting love and I took my eyes off Jesus. He has never, when I walk through my life now, he has never, ever taken his eyes off of me. It's always me turning away from him. And so after that, I just felt this wail come out of me, and it was so deep, and it was just like everything bad just came out. And after that, Kim says, do you see Jesus? And I said, yeah, I do. And he wanted me to dance with him, and I didn't quite dance. I didn't feel like I could yet, but I went home and just kind of waited to see what he was saying to me, what was going on. I was expecting fireworks and yay, you know, celebration. But what I got was this really deep, deep serenity. It's bigger than peace. It's lots, all those words. And that he is always with me. And not always, just always with me. He has never, ever stopped loving me. And so Kim texted me Friday, and she sent me a song. And the song touched me in such a way, I cried. But these were happy tears because Jesus and I danced together. So I just want you to know it's worth the trip. It's worth the journey. He's there to protect you and walk you through it. And it's never too late. Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. He's always there, and he just wants you to live in the fullness of his love.
Thank you. Powerful. So God does this in our lives in all different ways. That was just one story. But, you know, God is so big, yet so intimate, that he knows what's the next step in your journey. He knows. And so as we think about stepping into this journey, or maybe you're already stepped into it and you're just like, what's next? I want to think about what that last part of the scripture said. Second Corinthians 3:18 says, with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image. We're being transfigured. This is truth. As we move from one brighter level of glory to the next. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So does this transformation come because we all try really hard? And we do enough? No. This transformation comes from him and him alone. Our part, on the other hand, is to turn. Some of us in here today are still really trying to work this out on our own. We're trying a little bit harder. We're trying to do all the right things. But it's not bringing fruit. And I'm just wondering if we stopped and just turned and gazed into his eyes, what that would do. See, transformation is positioning. We position ourselves to receive, and he does the transformation. We position ourselves. So what does positioning look like? Positioning, for me, is opening my hands to him and just saying, I want to receive what you have for me. Positioning is doing spiritual disciplines, like reading the Bible, spending time in silence with God, being in solitude. It's going to church, fasting, praying. We can list a whole ton of them today. And often we get the idea that these disciplines are what does the transforming, but in reality, it's a positioning. It's a positioning for ourselves before God, and it's a surrender, it's a submission. James 4:7 says, resist the enemy and he will flee. But you know the part that we often forget is the first part of that verse, which says, submit to the Lord. The resisting the enemy comes after the submission. We submit to God. We say, you are Lord over my life. I can tell you're not Lord over this part of my life. Please take over. Please take over. I'm turning to you now. And out of that, we're able to resist the enemy's schemes. And then verse 8 says, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. That's not a conditional statement. Like, I'm not getting close to you if you're not getting close to me. It's just a natural reaction. It's like when your child crawls up in your lap. You don't just, you hold him. You're pleased to hold him or her. So our transformational process is putting ourselves in the position to receive from him. The glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So let's position ourselves today. I'm going to read the lyrics to the song that Claudia mentioned that I sent her on Friday. I was driving home from dropping my son off at school, and this song came on the radio. I had my Spotify going, and I had never heard the song before. And I don't think it was a coincidence that song came on, because it spoke exactly what I was sharing with you guys here today. And I want to read those lyrics. So if you just want to put yourself in a position of receiving this truth today, you can close your eyes, you can open your hands, you can invite the Holy Spirit to come. And I'm going to read these lyrics. You are my child, and I am your father. Spend time with me, my sons and daughters. I whisper I love you, and it rings forever. Drink of my love, because nothing is better. I sing and dance when I'm thinking of you, and I'm always thinking of you. You'll sing and dance when you think of me too. It's what I made you to do. Sons and daughters, feel my pleasure, for you are my treasure. Daughters and sons, you've been ransomed. New life has begun. I sought you. You were lost, but you were worth the cost. You were worth the cost. And so I just want to invite you during this last song to just position yourself to receive from him. We have a prayer response team here that's we would love to pray with you. It's an honor to pray with you and be in this journey with you. We also have a spiritual health team, like about 15 of us right now that are here for you guys to serve you, for counsel, for inner healing prayer, for deliverance prayer. And you can go on our website and request a session time, and we can do that with you. But we want to be with you in this journey. We're in this together. Each one of us are being transformed from glory to glory as we reflect his image. Let's just thank him for what he's doing today. God, we just want to praise you. We want to thank you for what you have done for us. That while we were still sinners, you came. For the Father loved the world so much that he sent his son Jesus. We just thank you for this. We thank you that we are not in this journey alone, that we have one another to hold each other up. And we thank you, God, that just by simply turning to you, you show us the next step into glory. And so, God, we just want to ask you to break chains in here that are keeping us from living extravagantly as a child of yours, that's keeping us from living loved, from living known, from living accepted. Reveal the lies, and we just trust you that you're going to remove the veil as we turn to you. And we just thank you, God, for what you are doing. And I pray that this room would be full of hope right now, hope of what you are doing. You're always up to something good, always. Even when it looks like you're not, you are. And we trust you with this today. In Jesus' name, amen.